May the words of my mouth and the inspiration of all our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, who is our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. I'm sure we all have different milestone moments in our life, little milestones that we remember, dates that are significant to us. Well, going back 20 years ago, this letter arrived through the letterbox. You may have seen the letter that I posted on Facebook yesterday. But the letter was from the Archbishop of Dublin, and quite literally, it was a letter that changed my life. 6 years previously, as a good Presbyterian, as I know I always say, I'd had this sense that God was calling me to ordained ministry. My mum was Church of Ireland, and when we moved back to Dublin in 1989, she and my dad and my brother and sister had gone back to the Church of Ireland, but I was still determined that I wasn't going to join this funny uppy-downy church. You know, the one where you didn't know whether you were meant to be sitting or standing or what you were meant to be doing. I was determined it wasn't for me. But as I began to explore my calling, it was very clear, and there's a bigger story to this maybe that I'll tell sometime, that God was calling me to serve him in the Church of Ireland ministry. And this letter that arrived in my door midway through Holy Week 1996 was a great affirmation. I'll read you the start of the second paragraph, and I want you to nod vigorously at the end of it, okay? This is what the Archbishop of Dublin, Donald Caird, wrote. I am happy to report to you that you have been recommended for training for the ministry as a very able candidate. No, you weren't meant to laugh at that bit. You were meant to nod your head in approval. Anyway, whatever the Archbishop said, 20 years later, here I am, serving in the Virginia group of parishes. And can I just say, as an aside, just to keep Raymond in your prayers this week. It's a big week for him. Tomorrow, Raymond gets what's called the list. There's much speculation goes on what parishes will be looking for curates. But until the list comes out, you don't know where. And over these next about 6 weeks or so, there will be parishes that will be looking for curates. They'll be looking at various CVs. Raymond will be looking at parish profiles. Interviews will happen. And then the various parishes will come to the Theological College, I think probably May time, middle of May time, when the curates will be assigned. So it's kind of a nerve-wracking time, but the Lord is with you, Raymond, and he will be with you as you seek to serve him, and as you faithfully follow that call in your life, he will find the right place for you. I have no doubt about that. And Raymond will serve there for about the next 3 years. Do keep Raymond in your prayers. But the notion that I want to bring in to our sermon today is the notion of God's call and the affirmation of God's call upon our lives. The call of God has been upon people's lives right from the beginning of time. The call of Abraham to build a new nation. The call of Moses to lead the people out of slavery, and the call of Joshua to bring the people to the promised land. The call of Ruth and Esther. Such a time as this. The call of Samuel is a favourite one of mine. Those words, as God calls him a number of times during the night, he says, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Not forgetting the call of the disciples who drop everything to follow Jesus. God's call and God's affirmation. And as we come to the second last sermon in our journey through the Acts of the Apostles, it's those words I want to carry with us as we once again focus on the life of Saul/Paul. Let me give us a quick context. Up until now, roughly the first 10 or 11 chapters of Acts, it's been focusing on people like Peter and the growth of the early movement in and around Jerusalem. Then persecution comes along, and the believers begin to move out, as Jesus had predicted, into Samaria and towards the end of the world. In other words, the gospel message begins to be spread among all nations. And then we have that moment where Paul encounters Jesus on the road to Damascus, and he is converted. He becomes a Christian, if you want. And God begins to use him, surprisingly, to bring the gospel message to the Gentiles. And then we find ourselves in Antioch in today's passage. It's at Antioch. The believers are called Christians for the first time. And Paul and Barnabas have drawn alongside the people in that place. Antioch was an important hub in the spread of the gospel, especially into the Middle East and beyond. And it becomes known as the cradle of Christianity because it was such a special place. Now let me bring it into today's news. I'm sure again and again we've heard about ISIS and Syria and the refugees who are fleeing from Syria into Turkey and then into Greece. Well, that's the part of the world that we're talking about. Antioch was on the Turkish-Syrian border. So that place is right into the places that we hear on our news today. And as we pick up our passage, and it will be great for people at this point to follow along on the weekly sheet or in the pew Bibles, if that is easier for you. There are four things that I want to draw out before we apply it into our own lives. The first thing that I want us to note comes in verse 1. Now this is an early fledgling church. Paul and Barnabas, as I've said, are there as early church leaders. They are encouraging and equipping and teaching the people. But what I want us to notice in that first verse is that we are told as they gather, there were also prophets and teachers. Now for me, that is an important learning point because it emphasizes that there are different roles even within that fledgling community. There's Paul and Barnabas as leaders, there are prophets, there are teachers, and I'm sure there are many other roles that people are functioning within in that early church in Antioch. So that's number one, different roles within the body of Christ. In verse 2, we find that they are praying together. They are worshipping together. And that's why I always encourage people that part of the church experience is coming together to worship and pray together regularly. We also find that they're fasting together. That's another interesting spiritual discipline to explore another time. But as they pray, we are told that the Holy Spirit speaks to them and tells them to set aside Paul and Barnabas for the task of being missionaries. So the second thing that I want to set before us is God's call upon someone's life. It sounds a bit strange that the Holy Spirit spoke to them. For me, when I sensed a call to ordained ministry, it wasn't necessarily an audible voice that I heard in my ear calling me. Rather, it was a niggling sense. It was a sense of a prompting from the Holy Spirit that God was calling me to ordained ministry. But you see, God's call to serve him in a particular way, it often comes with a niggling sense. It often comes with a prompting from the Holy Spirit to serve God in a certain way. Now let me say this quite clearly. Ordained ministry is one way of serving God. And these group of parishes have had a good number of people who have served the Lord and gone from here to serve the Lord in ordained ministry. Dick, who passed away recently. Raymond from here. Tanya. John Clark. But ordained ministry is one way of serving God. Maybe there are others who have that little niggling, that sense that God is calling them to serve him in a particular way in ordained ministry. It's a privilege to do that. It's a challenge at times to do that. But ordained ministry is not the only way to serve God. There are many other ways, different roles, different functions to serve God. And maybe we have that little niggling, that little prompting from the Holy Spirit saying, I want you to serve in this particular way. But we'll come back to that in a moment. So different roles and God's call via the Holy Spirit to serve him in a particular way. Then as we come to verse 3, we read that Barnabas and Paul are commissioned by those around them and they are sent off. In this moment, it has been sent off to be missionaries. But it's that sense of affirmation from God and from others that I want us to build in. One of the things that myself and Raymond would have been asked, or one of the things that would have been noted, was, did anybody else in the congregations that we come from affirm that call? Fellowship of Vocations, the week of interviews that we would have gone to, that was a part of the affirming of God's call. But perhaps we feel a sense of God calling him to serve him in a particular way, and others may have been saying that to us. Did you ever think, I think you would be great? That sense of being affirmed by the body of Christ in our gifts and passions. The final thing I want us to learn in verse 4 is that we are reminded that God, through the Holy Spirit, goes with Barnabas and Paul. They're not sent out on their own. God, through the Holy Spirit, guides them, strengthens them, and leads them in where God calls them to serve. So as we come to apply the passage in our lives today, we take the overall learning point with us. God, through the ages, has always relied on, called, and used ordinary people to service his purposes. Not just in ordained ministry, as I've said, but in many, many equal, important, and valid ways within the church, within our communities, in far-off places, within our workplaces, within our schools, in many different ways to serve him and to bring his gospel message through word, action, and deed into the lives of those we encounter. God's Holy Spirit helps us to hear that call, and God's Holy Spirit strengthens us to live out that call in our lives each day. It's an important passage. It's an important passage for any healthy church to encourage and empower, which is part of my role, others to function and to serve God in ministry. It's an important passage for all of us to reflect on and to apply in our lives. How might God want to use me? How can God use me to further his purposes and to build his kingdom? As we apply it, the first thing it does is give me an opportunity to say thank you. To say thank you to so many people across this group of parishes who give of their time and their talents and their gifts to serve God in this place. I am not able to do it on my own. I have a specific calling, but I could not do that without a sense of team effort. So thank you, whatever way you contribute to this group of parishes. Sometimes it's in quiet ways that people go about serving God. Sometimes it's more public ways. Whatever way you fit in that, thank you for responding to God's call and to serve him in this group of parishes. I appreciate all that people do. In the week that's in it, it also gives me an opportunity to say thank you to all who are willing to stand for and serve on our vestries. The role of the vestries is to look after the furnishings, the fabrics, and the finance of the churches. And as we look at this church and our buildings, and as we come through a year being solvent, as they say, financially, that is good work from the vestry. They've taken, over the last number of years, great steps in faith to make sure that the buildings are in good order, to make sure the finances are in good order, to make sure the fabrics are in good order. So thank you to the vestry as they, in one sense, step down this week, but in another sense, I hope, offer themselves for another year in service to this church. Thank you to the wardens who so faithfully serve God Sunday by Sunday. There are many others too, the glebe wardens, and thank you to our treasurer as well, who works so hard. I don't want to leave anyone out. If I've left, please don't take that as an offence, it's just a sign of my brain. But thank you to all who serve the church in that way. Let me say it again, it takes many people and differing gifts to help a church fulfil the mission that we've been looking at since January, to bring the gospel message of grace and love into the lives of those we come into contact with each day. The opportunities for doing that are endless. And that brings me to the final part of my sermon, and it's this. Part of my role is to encourage more and more to respond to God's call on their lives and to serve God in whatever way is appropriate. In a general sense, of course, it's great to have people responding in a general way, all hands to the pump sometimes. But I think also it is a sign of a healthy church when the right people with the right gifts and passion are serving God in the right places. In other words, that people are round pegs in round holes who are serving God. Some people are wonderful with children. But put them with teenagers, disaster. Some people are wonderful working with those who are in nursing homes or more aged, and yet put them with children, a disaster. It's great when the right people with the right gifts and the right passions serve God in the right way. But I said earlier on in the year that I wanted to begin a course called the Network Course. The Network Course comes from a church in America called Willow Creek, and it's a course that helps Christians, that helps believers identify their spiritual gifts. And therefore, by identifying what their gifts and passions are, it enables them to serve God more faithfully in the local church. I would love loads of people to come along and do that. It's a 6-week course, and you'll see the details on the weekly sheet. But it's a way of people hearing God's call. It's a way of affirming their gifts and passions in their life. It's a way of serving God in the right way according to those gifts and passions. It would be great if people set aside those 6 weeks to learn more about where God perhaps is calling them. Lots to take from this passage. I just want to leave us with this. God has a call in all our lives. There is no insignificant way of serving the Lord, whether it be in the quiet ways behind the scenes or whether it be in more public ways. Those calls are important as we respond with our hearts to Him. How might God be calling you to serve God in this place, in this community, maybe in a far off place, to serve Him and to love Him today? Let's pray together. Lord, I'm thankful for the call in my life, and I'm thankful for the call you put on many people's lives to love and to serve you quietly in faithful ways. And I pray that for each of us, you would be calling us according to our own gifts and passions to serve you in those places where you would have us be. Particularly just want to pray for Raymond this week. Thank you for his willingness to respond to your call to serve him in ordained ministry. And as he gets the list tomorrow, Lord, may you help him in these coming days and weeks to discern where you are calling him to serve next, sure in the knowledge that you go with him, that you have the right place for him to be, that his life and his calling is safe in your hands. And so, Lord, we commit all ourselves into your hands, and I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.